So welcome once again to the University Catholic Center. For those of you who may be new to our campus, we're glad that you found us, and we hope that you'll make this your second home while you're here at the University of Texas. So take some time to look around the building. You'll see that we have lots of study space upstairs, big general purpose meeting space in the basement. We've got free Wi-Fi throughout the building. We actually upgraded our Wi-Fi last spring so that we can handle a couple of hundred simultaneous connections without too much trouble. In addition to our amazing facilities, you'll also find some pretty amazing people at the Catholic Center. We have a Knights of Columbus Council. Mu Epsilon Theta is our Catholic sorority. Lambda Omega Alpha is our Catholic fraternity. We have a growing liturgical music program headed by Benjamin Cox. Over there, hi, okay. We have scores of Bible studies led by our Focus missionary team. We have adoration on Thursday night led by the Schoenstatt University men, daily mass, spiritual direction, awakening retreats, vocational discernment programs, opportunities for adult confirmation. We have RCIA classes for people interested in becoming Catholic, and a whole lot more. This is a busy place. But more importantly, this is not your parents' parish. This is your parish. And we are here to help and support you and to give you what you need to grow into an adult faith. And we are really happy that you're here. For those of you who are returning after an exciting summer away, welcome back. Confessions are Monday and Tuesday afternoon and anytime by appointment. Generally speaking, when the gospel gives us this scene of Peter's profession of faith, preceded by Jesus' interrogation about who people say he is, it's usually expected that the homilist will turn the question around and ask solemnly, "Who do you say Jesus is?" I have done this myself once or twice, but I'm also inclined to think that's kind of the lazy way out of a sermon. It's tempting to follow this "who do you say Jesus is" maneuver with a careful explication of all the wrong ways that people identify Jesus. One of my homiletics professors many years ago took points off for every rhetorical question asked in a homily. "Why do you suppose he did that?" Another 10 points off. Instead of asking you to consider who Jesus is, I'd like you to reflect on why Jesus cares what anyone thinks of him. Presumably, by the 16th chapter of Matthew's gospel, Jesus knows who he is. From Epiphany to his baptism to his teaching, preaching, and his miracles, it's pretty clear that Jesus understands who he is and his relationship with the Father. He's clear enough that he even forbids his disciples to talk about his identity when they begin to figure it out. And I think there's a connection between these questions about who Jesus is and this so-called messianic secret. Jesus is concerned about his reputation. President Abraham Lincoln once said, "Character is like a tree, and reputation is like its shadow. The shadow is what we think of it, but the tree is the real thing." Why should Jesus care about his reputation? Today, in many circles, it's considered a virtue not to care what anyone thinks about you, as if that were a sign of independence or autonomy. But reputation and character are not the same thing, obviously. But still, Jesus was concerned about his reputation. And he had good reason to be concerned. Based on the replies from his disciples, the majority of the reports about him were completely wrong. And that's the problem with reputations. They're usually more caricatures than real summaries of a person's character. But let's look at how Jesus reacted. When it was clear that huge numbers of people were saying all kinds of outrageous things about him, Jesus didn't refute them. He didn't hire a publicist. He didn't go into damage control mode. Instead, he let his actions speak for him. He knew that the truth was not in what people were saying, but in what he was doing. Jesus even forbade his disciples to speak the truth about him. And that can't have been easy for him or for them. The deepest truth, the truth that can't be refuted or denied, is the truth that we communicate through our actions, acting out of love, compassion, justice, and mercy. After Peter proclaims who Jesus is in this brief profession of faith, Jesus returns the favor and tells Peter who he, Peter, is. It wasn't just a reflection of Peter's reputation, which, if the Gospels are accurate, would lead us to believe that Peter was impetuous, unreliable, and not very bright. Instead, Jesus reveals Peter's deeper character and his mission in the world. So here's the question of the week for your consideration. Who do people say that you are? Is your reputation accurate? Is it based on what people have heard about you or what they've seen you do? One of the great things about starting a new academic year is that it's a chance to start over. If you graduated from high school last May or June, you were probably at the top of the heap, near the top of your class, and surrounded by people who knew you by the reputation that you'd crafted over your years in high school. And now you're in a new place, and nobody knows or cares who you were in high school. It's a good time to figure out who you want to be by the time you graduate. Whether you are brand new here or returning for a fifth year, a new school year is a big reset button, a chance to assert who you are, who you want to be, and how other people will see you. God alone knows your deepest truth, but you get to decide how much of your character and your faith you're going to show to the rest of the world. The Catholic Center is here for you to deepen your relationship with Christ, to help you discover the deep richness of our Catholic faith, and to be a supportive community, and to help you become a leader. So welcome. Welcome back, and welcome home. May God's love and the gifts of the Holy Spirit guide you all this year.